welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful you chose to be with me. I am honored, honored, honored. We're going to talk about pride today. This is a big one for a lot of you, and so we're going to cover this a little bit. It's a kind of a prerequisite for anyone who's going to go into any kind of important inner work, if they're even going to try to attempt inner work. I want to remind you that your tax-deductible gifts make this all possible. Without your sponsorship and without your tax-deductible kindness, maybe monthly, quarterly, we cannot make these radio programs or our TV programs. And I think if you go and watch Aspire on the website at aspire.org, you will see that it is very unique, like very few programs probably you will ever see. Honest, forthright, and helpful for those of you who have eyes to see and have ears to hear. So I'm hoping that you will go and take a look. Go to the website at aspire.org and you will see support. And if you click on that, a little submenu will come down and it's entitled Why Support Aspire. And I think you will find it very interesting where your donations go, how important they are, and what a must they are in this world, especially the one that we live in now. So I hope you will consider being a sponsor. It is extremely important and something that has the opportunity to change people's lives, maybe even your own. And there's many, many gifts you get for being a sponsor. And if you go and take a look at what it means to be a sponsor, you'll see it's more than worth it. It really is, just for yourself. Let's talk about pride. I'm a counselor, as it were. I try to help people understand the nature of themselves, the nature of why they meditate and the power of meditation, the power of inner work and what it means to have inner work. But a lot of people, they just don't get it. They don't see it as important. For the most part, the pedestrian mentality thinks in terms of this as mere philosophy, mind control. Everybody who lives in this world is looking for something to help them control their life. That's basically what it's all about. People want their lives controlled. So they go and they listen to a radio program or a TV program such as I'm doing, and they're looking for how can I have a better life and control my life. And a part of all of that is the pride of being able to control and put their life in a place where they think they're better off. But that is not what an authentic spiritual practice is all about. We don't understand why we are here on this earth or what this earth means. We have no awareness of it, no understanding of it at all. So here we are, you and I, on this earth, missing the point of view of what this is all about and wondering, you know, what is going on in the world and not really getting the totality of it. And there's a certain pride that comes up. When I am teaching people the way, there is every chance you're going to be insulted. And there's every chance you're going to find it very difficult. And the difficulty will lie in the insult will lie in how you think that you are too bright to miss all of this and what this is all about. And anyone can miss this lifetime. It isn't about that. It's about how do you live from within yourself? What is going on in there? And why do you and I think that pride is so important? I looked up the word pride before we do the questions here. A feeling or deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements, the achievements of those whom one is closely associated with. So basically, the pleasure or satisfaction is a form of gratification. And this gratification, having an excessively high opinion of oneself or one's own importance, that's part of the definition. A person or a thing that is the object or source of a feeling or deep pleasure or satisfaction. And all of that is a form of elongating and ingratiating my hubris, my ego. Now, when we do this, there's a lot of consequences that go along with it. And people want to know, how can I have these feelings of pride, not have the consequence of it, which typically is what goes up must come down. So the first question from Jeff in Los Angeles. I have my pride. I find it hard to listen to you many times because as you seem to condemn pride as a bad thing, you need to take into account what it means to be prideful. And maybe you've never had anything, Greg, to be prideful about. Jeff. Jeff, there are so many things that we could be proud of. You know what I mean? And I'm a human being, and have I had things I could be proud of? Oh, of course, like anyone. And you can artificially prop it up, too, and make yourself believe that you should be proud about this or that or the other. And these things wouldn't necessarily be anything to be proud of. These things would be maybe situations or circumstances or achievements where you found vengeance in something you did or found a way to be vengeful or maybe do something that took away from another person and feel prideful about that. These things are not healthy. These things are not about the goodness of one's own being. Remember that pride is an inordinate sense of thinking of ourselves as being important or having an excessively high opinion of ourselves. And this has nothing to do with the idea of gaining consciousness. So when I am teaching things, and with the very first teaching that Jesus offered, Jeff, was blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, this isn't my teaching. This is his teaching. And it is so very true. Because people who live according to the masses, the mass theory that, your pride should be all important to you and do things that make you proud of yourself, he is saying, no. Blessed are the poor in spirit. In other words, humble. When he uses the term poor in spirit, he is talking about humility. He isn't talking about gaining some kind of favor with this world or having people admire you. Which would you rather have? Something that is a lifelong achievement that awakens certain things in us that help us maybe broaden our point of view, develop consciousness, or something to be proud of? Whereby, we get the favor of other people. We get the satisfaction that might be derived out of the idea that people would admire us. I think people want admiration more than they want consciousness. I think people want the admiration of thinking that they're okay if other people grant them that wish of thinking in terms of, Harry and Sally and Bobby and Mary and Joseph and whoever said I was a really good person, and I must be because they said so. The majority of people I know like me, that kind of thing. And so we get hooked on all of that, and we get prideful about all of that, and we think we don't have to work on ourselves. People have a propensity to try to do the things that will give them some kind of kudo for what they've done and, in essence, destroy maybe the opinion they have of themselves, which isn't too high. And we're always fighting with that. This self-esteem issue is a very important one and one that causes us a great deal of difficulty in the course of our lifetime. It's really, really sad, but that's what it is, and that's what we do. So you're saying, you know, that you have your pride. I am sure you do, Jeff. And you say you find it hard to listen to me because I condemn pride. It isn't that I condemn it. It's just not a part of your progression, your practice. Humility is the key. And as Jesus said, blessed is he who is not insulted in me. You listen to the teachings of the Buddha. You listen to the teachings of the Tao. You listen to the teachings of Jesus. And you're going to find that they're difficult to understand unless you and I have humbled ourselves. Humbled ourselves in such a way that brings about insight and clarity into the meaning and the substance of what it is to understand the nature of love within us. Because it is only in this that we find that nature of love. It's only in that. Love is not found in a teaching. You can't teach love. Love occurs as humility. And oftentimes we need humiliation to find that humility. And that's why we find so many things that we find that are so difficult to our life and make our life just very, very ugly. I'm sorry you take my teachings the way you do, that you think of them in the way you take them. You tell me I need to be taken down. Jeff, I wouldn't disagree with you. I am willing to be taken down. My ego, my pride, my hubris, anytime. And you know, it always is when I get questions like this from people or I get comments. Believe me, I don't have a fan club. I really don't. So if you think what I'm teaching here is popular and people just love it, and I have this long string of people and students, you're wrong. And if there's anything more humiliating than being an authentic teacher, I don't know what it would be. I just don't. The more I teach and the more I give and the deeper I go, the fewer can understand and are willing to understand. So pretty soon, it'll only be me, just me left. And that's fine. So, Jeff, I've already been taken down, just so you know. Thank you for your question. I really do appreciate it. And please forgive me. Namaste. People think I have this great following. I don't. Really, I don't. The kind of work I do is very synchronistic to those who have the sense of the inner pull. And if you don't have the inner pull towards your heart, towards awakening, you're not going to like very much of what I teach. Next question comes from John in St. Louis, Missouri. My pride tells me who I am. I can't be as wrong as you say, Greg. So what about that? Are you being prideful, John? I hope not, John. And if you hear that within me, please forgive me. And I always end my discussions with people with please forgive me for the simple fact of exactly what you're saying. But you must understand, I'm not responsible for how you hear me. You say your pride tells you who you are. This is really, really not the full truth of you. How can I help you when you want me to confirm what you already believe in and have accepted as yourself? I'm saying you're something other than that. You're something other than whatever your pride tells you you are. And that there is something unique about you that goes beyond pride. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. You say in your email that you can't be as wrong as you think I'm telling you that you are. Well, how do you know that? How do you know that? Why can't you be as wrong? I've been as wrong. I've been wrong at times, very much so, and I've had to go back and see the nature of it all and change it. I've been wrong about how I knew myself at one time and how I experienced this life. I was wrong about what was a love and what wasn't love. There were a lot of things that I had to deal with in the course of my own unfoldment. But as I went on, I suddenly realized I had to ditch everything that I thought I was so secure in and I was so correct about and start living that which was not so popular in Greg, in the way he looked at himself, in the way he lives within himself. I found that emptiness was the key to everything, and only in emptiness that we find the meaning and the significance of what it is to know the true, authentic presence that we are. Because, John, we are not people. We are a presence. That presence lives very profoundly within you. Until I find that presence, all I am is a belief and a theory, an idea, an ideal. All I am is what I can think. And there's so much more to you and to me than what I can think. Thinking only sustains my misery, my misunderstanding. People like to think. You might like to think. And if you do think, what are you thinking about? What does that mean to think? What does it mean to find the nature of your heart over the nature of, let's say, the hubris, the ego? You know, the deeper you go into inner work, the more you realize that anything that you and I think about ourselves is not true. It just isn't true. How can it be when you are not a thought? You are not a thought. This is a mind blower to people. You are not a thought. You are not something that can be thought. You are something that cannot be taught. You are an experience. You are that which is so magnificent and so beautiful that it has no words. And once you begin to understand the nature of what I have just said to you, that is when you come into a place where an awakening can occur, where something beyond the idea of the pedestrian mentality that only thinks in terms of good and bad and right and wrong can finally melt away. Does it bother you at all, John, that there is every probability in your life that you will live and die and never know the presence that lives within you, that is the authentic within you? For most people, it doesn't bother them at all. Not at all. But for me, it would bother me if I were you. It would bother me a great deal. I would start to look at things from the point of view that I had missed my entire life. You say you can't be as wrong as I say you are. I have never said you were wrong. I am just saying this is not the way. This is not who you are. This is not the meaning. This is not the substance of you. And once you begin to understand what I'm trying to show you, and you are not insulted by the idea that you can't base pride around it, that is when something of the mystical can enter into you. And you will start to feel and hear and experience that which the mind typically cannot understand, the mind typically cannot realize. The mind is only thinking in terms of two things: good and bad, right and wrong, love and hate. That's it. It's dualistic by its nature. And when I'm no longer interested in that duality, that's when something of the mystical can enter into you. You are that. You are that which is so magnificent, so beautiful, so unique. You are that. Don't let your mind get in the way of all of that. Don't let your mind keep you from the path that would set you free, that would liberate you. If you can liberate yourself from the meaning of your pedestrian mentality, John, you will find that it isn't about how wrong you've been. It's been about what you have missed in your life that you could regain through compassion, love, meditation, inner work. That's all. Think about it a little bit. Don't give up. Everybody gives up. Doesn't take anything to give up. Awaken. Work upon yourself. Rise to the occasion. Do something beyond the beyond. Please forgive me. Namaste. You know, listening to me, there's every chance that you could miss everything I'm saying and not understand a single word, because the value system upon which you and I have built our life upon in the genetic nature of us would not agree with anything that is being offered or anything that would have anything to do with the authentic. It's really interesting. Last question. Of course, you had to know this one was coming. As the rule goes, pride goeth before a fall. Do you believe in that, Jason? And he does not tell me where he lives. Pride goes when I fall to pride. When I see that what I have lived for, what I have wanted, the things that I was seeking to pride myself upon were not the things that would bless me, that would bring about insight for who and what I truly am as a presence. That is really an amazing moment. I have fallen many times. Many, many times. I have stumbled over my own feet. I've stumbled over my own stupidity. I've stumbled over my own fears and worries just like anyone else. I'm not special. But when I got up, I realized what I had done to myself and why I had done this to myself. And now I set myself on a new course. Each and every time, I would learn something about the dynamics of humility and humiliation, the dynamics of being gentle enough to be compassionate and kind, not only towards myself, but towards my own ignorance. And once you understand what that means and the development of that in your life, you can do a lot of interesting things with your living that supersede what you can believe in your mind, in your body, in your thinking. You can actually move beyond the beyond. And that, to me, is what it's all about. Learning how to live beyond the concepts of a Gregory. Most people never question that. So people will say, pride goeth before a fall, meaning that you don't care much about yourself and you don't care about what other people think of you, and that you're not particularly interested in a haughtier opinion of yourself. And I've had that and all. And I'm telling you, it's worth it to have that fall. Sometimes it's embarrassing. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's humiliating, and sometimes it's not. It is wherever you are, whatever kind of mood you're in, whatever kind of thing you're in, that's what it is at that time. So look at it from the point of view, Jason, that whenever you see your pride and you realize it cannot sustain itself to give you what you might call the equilibrium of your ego, that it's a good thing. Take it gracefully. And understand, it isn't personal. And yet, it's so very personal. And be able to see that it's for, shall we say, the greatest effort you will ever make in your life, and that is the effort of knowing the presence of love within you, because that's really what everything is about. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Thank you for listening. Have a beautiful weekend, and I'll be back next weekend to share with you more. And if you have any comments or questions, if you go to the website at aspire.org, go to media, you will see Satsang with Siraj, that be me. You can leave your comments there and email me your questions from there. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.